Hello and welcome to another episode of the Two Fat Brokers. I'm Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Barney from Dubai.
And today we're doing an episode that we haven't done, I think, for two, maybe 3 years, which is...
No.
Where's the market? No.
Six months ago.
No, we didn't.
Did.
You're dreaming. Check back. We haven't done it for ages. Where's the market? So we're just... Everyone's back from summer now. Schools have just started. There's a new report out from Moody's. Have you seen that report from Moody's?
Yes.
About the Dubai market and how... No, it's not going to tank. But obviously, back in July, Fitch brought out a report.
One.
Yeah, saying the Dubai market is going to go down 15%. Moody's have brought one out saying that the Dubai market will have a modest correction in 2026.
Now,
pretty exciting.
This is a very reactionary market we're in. A modest correction can quite easily become... a sizable or non-modest correction.
Well, so they said, so 150,000 units are going to come on between 2025 and 2027, which is an addition of 20% on the stock already there. But anyway, we're talking about where's the market now. So where is the Dubai market? What's going on?
Hot.
Still hot?
Very hot.
Yeah.
It's 45 degrees out there.
90% humidity.
I mean, I think I've been pleasantly surprised. I mean, you know, I would say how's your summer been, but you and I have spent most of our summer together. And during the summer, you know, I was kind of cogitating on this and concerned that perhaps the market wasn't going to bring it back. When I first moved here in 2008,
We're taking it a long way back.
Yeah. 2 weeks before the financial crisis hit, and which happened over Ramadan.
Uh-huh.
Right, so we went into Ramadan and I was kind of looking around the office going, what's happening? Like, the phones have just stopped ringing. And the guys in the office were like, don't worry, it's Ramadan. The phones will start ringing again after Ramadan. And they just never did.
Uh-huh.
And I, my concern was this summer was going to be that Ramadan. Things had slowed down, not a lot of transactions happening.
Did your phone stop ringing over summer?
No, not really. But I mean, it certainly rang a lot less. And then we've come back and, I mean, it seems to be business as usual, to be honest. Off plan. I mean, they're launching this new highly, and I don't say this lightly, about off plan projects, but the new Jumeirah Golf Estates 2 project. I've never seen a hype about a new project quite like this one.
How many units?
I don't know. their first launch is 165 units. It's going to be somewhere in the region. I mean, it's big. It's going to be somewhere in the regions of around 2,000, I would have thought.
Villas?
In stages, yeah.
Wow.
But they're going to have a Mandarin Oriental hotel. They're going to have equestrian centres. They're going to obviously have a golf course. You know, even if they like launch with half of the amount of amenities that they say they're going to, it's going to be a hell of a community. And prices there are 50% on a price per square foot basis to what the Jumeirah Golf Estates 1 is selling for.
Really?
So, and it's a 50-50
pay. No wonder it's hyped up. And only 50-50 for Dubai, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that sort of holy grail of 40-60 is not something that we get very often here, but you can always be sure that if you've got a 40-60 payment plan, that development will sell out pretty quickly.
Just on the payment plan?
Just on the payment plan, because obviously, yes, 40% upfront, finance the last 60, job done.
So you're seeing not a lot of change, basically.
Not a huge amount.
Not slowing down, not taking a breath, not pausing.
There was certainly a hiatus over summer.
Yeah.
Certainly. And it was a nervous one. From a broker's perspective, it was a nervous one. Mm. You know, I own a real estate company. My bread and butter is very much sort of connected to Dubai real estate.
School fees, mortgages.
And, yeah, all of that. And so I was a bit nervous. We still did some business over the summer. And then, you know, all of my brokers have come back and they're all double busy. So
nice.
Yeah, it's good. What about Abu Dhabi?
I mean, Abu Dhabi's flying. To be honest, like, I've had a Google like alert on for real estate news for, you know, probably for 10 years. And it's just relentless, the amount of reports that are being brought out, the amount of like, oh, we've sold more, you know, more this, more that, more that than the other. It's like, I don't even read them anymore. It's like so relentless, the real estate news. And Abu Dhabi, in most of the where's the markets, I've said Abu Dhabi, slow and steady, you know, nothing like Dubai, just like doing like 3 to 5% a year. Abu Dhabi's flying now. We're looking at, you know, 20% price increases in some areas year on year. Yeah,
still worth really jumping on the Modon bandwagon. That's, I mean, a 40-60, right?
Modon's a very interesting. I think you got options on the payment plan. Modon's very interesting because they haven't built anything yet. They haven't really
built some massive towers of sand.
They've built some massive towers of sand. Yeah, so there's a lot of hype around, you know, Hudayrat Island particularly because it's, you know, right alongside Abu Dhabi mainland, and low density, lots of villas and stuff. They had a plot project, and we spoke about it. It was 1,800 plots that sold out in a couple of days. I imagine they sold quite a few to developers to build their own like villa offerings and resell, but you know, it sold out incredibly quickly. So they've sold a huge amount of that Hudayrat Island already.
What's the access going to be like on Hudayrat? Because my mind's eye, you have the main access and one bridge.
No, you only have one bridge. There's also an access into Musafa, but what they're going to do is build more bridges and more tunnels.
Okay.
So there's going to be quite a few tunnels because
for those
just
of you
alongside.
Who know London, it reminds me of the Blackwall Tunnel. And you never had to do that. I used to, when we lived in London, we lived in East London. I used to work in Greenwich, South London. Uh-huh. And the Blackwall Tunnel was where everybody who lived in the east side of London, who worked on the north side of the river, had to go through the Blackwall Tunnel. And those tailbacks, I'm not kidding, were, you know, 4 miles long every day.
So Hudayrat will be very low density, you know, in terms of population. So there won't be many, and there will be multiple bridges, and I assume at least one tunnel, maybe multiple, because there's a really interesting area called I think it's Mazoon, which is where there's loads of palaces, and it's right sort of it's between Hudayrat and Abu Dhabi, and so they're going to need to build a tunnel under that, you know, because you can't build anything all the way through it. So we expect a lot more connectivity. Abu Dhabi's building a lot of bridges at the moment.
I do like that about the UAE. You've got some palaces, and in England you'd be like, right, we're building a road through your palaces, sorry chaps, like bad luck. In the UAE they're like, nice palace, we'll go underneath, it's fine.
Yeah, it's sensible. It's very sensible, but you know, all that's off plan, so you can't really see, and there's not a vibrant secondary market in that stuff because it's been released relatively recently. But where you're seeing the price rises is, you know, in the secondary market in places like Yas Island, Rahab Beach, even Al Reef, not 20%, but you know, that's starting
off
to creep up now.
Off-plan still selling at a higher price per square foot than Ready in parts of Abu Dhabi?
In many comparable areas still, yeah. There's still a huge amount of hype surrounding off-plan. Although, we've seen a couple of launches recently which haven't sold out, almost kind of like, you know, surprisingly, where there's still stock left. Because we went through a phase last year where whatever price, whatever project, just boom, just, you know, just it all went. So I think, developers are pushing prices, like prices are really kind of like going up, you know, far higher than we've ever seen in Abu Dhabi.
Well, you've got 10,000 a square foot with Four Seasons now, haven't you?
Yeah, we've never seen that price before. We've got Fahid Island, one bed starting at $1 million, 3.6 million dirhams.
How big is it? 3,000 square feet.
No, it'd be the standard 80 square meters, you know, kind of jazz. So that, for people who've been in Abu Dhabi a long time, that you're looking at going like, what? You know, these are prices we've never seen.
See, this is one of the things that, as a real estate agent, I find it quite difficult to reconcile. Mm. And therefore, it makes me quite risk averse with investment in Dubai. Because you and I have seen where it was. And we've seen it go up. And then we've seen it go down again. And we've seen it go up. And then we've seen it kind of come off a little bit. And now it is where it is. I'm like you. I'm like, oof, that's punchy. But then you see other people who are coming in with fresh eyes on the UAE, and they're like, that's not so bad. You know, if I want that in any other major city in the world, on the beach, you know, with this kind of, you know, tax incentives, this kind of ease of business, this kind of global connectivity, they're like, this is still pretty good.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure Dubai are massively into it now, you know, but Abu Dhabi, particularly Aldar, has gone, you know, massively into looking for buyers from other markets. Mm. Partly because there's not that many people in Abu Dhabi, you know, the city's got a population about 1.6 million.
The locals buy most of the stuff there, right?
Used to. now, for probably exactly the same reasons that you're saying now, they're going to China, they're going to India, they're going to Taiwan, they're going to, you know, UK, because those markets, you know, the prices aren't as eye-watering immediately, because your reaction from someone who's been in the Abu Dhabi market for 10 years is that is really expensive. Yeah. What they want is, and when the developers come to us and they pitch it, they say, don't think about it in terms of those historic prices. You know, think about it, the value now. This is the new reality. And so to find buyers, it's difficult finding them at Abu Dhabi because we remember the old prices, and even like brokers like me are like, oh, is that like value? But if you go to, you know, China and Hong Kong and, you know, Taiwan and these kind of places, you know, yeah, exactly as you say, those people are like, that's actually pretty cheap.
Hmm.
You know, for black, you know, beachfront, you know, apartments in a you know, a thriving city like Abu Dhabi. And so the pitch is very much Abu Dhabi is like this up and coming, you know, first world city with huge amount of potential, and this real estate is now priced, you know, accordingly.
I guess from a Dubai perspective, I don't foresee any issues with population growth. You know, Dubai, I was very fortunate enough to be able to take a family member of ours out for dinner. Ben was here a while ago.
I'm sitting right here.
No, your alter ego.
Really?
Nice there, Ben.
There's
nice,
another Ben.
Nice, sure. Thin Ben, who people like.
Sure.
Your alter ego. Another family friend of ours, a guy called Raj, and, you know, sat. These are both guys who are moving here. Both of them have just got their golden visas. And Gemma and I were sat across the table listening to them extol the virtues of Dubai. You know, they don't know much about Abu Dhabi, but sort of the UAE. And what an amazing place it is, and what a vibrant culture it is. And, you know, people always, one of the sticks that people use as a rod to beat Dubai and the UAE is it doesn't have much culture. And, you know, these guys were arguing in the UAE's defense about the kind of culture that it has. Whereas before, that was such a big reason for people not to want to move here.
Do you think Dubai, this is slightly off topic, is making its own culture? Because I don't think we're talking now, when they talk about culture, you're not talking about, let's say, Emirati culture from 70, 80 years ago. You're talking about Dubai having its own, you know, it's kind of built its own culture. Like it's
like a yogurt.
Something new. I mean, perhaps. Yeah.
Perhaps. I mean, look, when you have this amount of people from this many nations, they're going to bring a part of everything with them, and it's interesting to watch how they sort of all congregate together. And, you know, obviously people tend to stick with people that are like them. You know, that's safety in what you know. But, you know, there's going to be microcosms of where cultures collide and create new cultures. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. And so just to summarize where Dubai is, you think that the market's kind of like still, you know, not accelerating, not decelerating, kind of pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Where do you have any predictions for next year? next year being 2026.
Yeah, we're a long way away from making some predictions, aren't we? 4 months away. Oh, yeah. One thing I would like to say,
okay,
if I may segue into
probably
something,
not
in terms of proof of how well the Dubai market is going. My brother from another mother, Mr. Fabrizio Saltini, just smashed a record in Emirates Hills, which hurts me because it was my record that he smashed. But he just sold a house for 260 million dirhams, which I think is $70 million, $71 million, in Emirates Hills. So,
wow,
you know, that was over the summer. It was a long time in the making, you know, but he's put Eden Realty, our little company, on the map. In terms of highest transactions for houses, we have number one, two, and three. There is a transaction that went through at 425 million, but that was a double plot, so it was a much bigger unit. So we actually, for single plots, we have 1, 2, and 3 highest value transactions in our little community of Emirates Hills. Congratulations, Fabrizio. But that is the point. That's a barometer that I'm trying to make. The market for ready properties is something that is almost separating itself from the rest of, you know, the standard finishes. There was a house that sold on the Palm Jumeirah, which was a garden home, which is one of the smaller houses. This had an extended plot and an extended built up, but it sold for 95 million dirhams. Jan Blaum is the real estate agent that represented the seller on that.
Well done, Jan.
And that made my eyes water. Mm. 5-6 years ago, if someone had told me that one day that garden homes, even renovated ones, are going to be trading it, I would have just laughed in your face. But
bottom of the market, they were going for 16, 20 million?
Less. That high, yeah, probably about 16 million. That high up the front at the absolute bottom. But this has been fully rented. But the point being,
in Abu Dhabi, we sold one for 400 million off plan recently. Aldar did.
The fire villas, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And Four Seasons have just sold one villa number one in Four Seasons for 300 million.
Was it that much? Wow.
Yeah.
So just, we're continually pushing the heights of.
But what I'm finding, and I don't know if you find this in Abu Dhabi, but in Dubai, those eye-watering numbers are being achieved for houses that are turnkey, because the people who are moving here don't like the old style finish, don't want to move into a house that's 10, 15 years old and not a lot been done to it. They're prepared to put their hands very deep into their pocket and pay top dollar for a house that is literally, I bring my luggage and my toothbrush and I'm in.
So in Abu Dhabi, it's completely the opposite. Renovation still adds no value. Nothing. Even renovating, you know, good quality older villas right now adds nothing. No market for it.
But I went to
off plan,
not Hadaria.
Like we said, you know.
Great. What's the peninsula, which is like one long road out into the sea?
Hidsadiyat.
Mm. Are there loads of renovation being done on those?
Yeah, but it doesn't add any value.
Why are they doing
it? Not a lot of value, because it's their house and they like it. They're not gonna sell it. Now, I think that'll change, but right now.
Why do you think people are prepared to just buy the old crappy one?
Because there's a tradition, I think it's like a bit Abu Dhabi tradition. People have quite a bit of time on their hands. A lot of like government employees, you know, a lot of wealthy individuals. I mean, they have more flexible working hours. And so there's still a tradition in Abu Dhabi of if you want to rent somewhere, you just walk from building to building asking the security guard like what's available. Like that's still a massive, you know, massive thing in Abu Dhabi. And so there's a lot of people who'd be like, why would I do that? I'll buy the cheap version and renovate it myself and it'll be much cheaper because I've got the time on my hands and I, you know, add that value myself. So there's not, we don't have, although it will change, all the hedge funds and stuff that are coming in, we don't have that class of people who are just like, listen, I want it done for me already. People don't often see the value in saving time. They have time themselves and they will make that money out of the time themselves. Mm. They don't see the value in saving time on something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good to know that you think it's going to change. I mean, if that's in the stars, then there's opportunity there.
There is, and we're talking to some guys coming in. I want to buy an old villa and renovate it, and you know, and make the kind of money in Dubai. Don't do it now. That market isn't there. If you can time it, you know, you'll be great. You'll be great. But right now, there's just no value in it.
Well, I mean, if you buy something now and renovate it properly, it's going to be a year's job.
Yeah.
A really high level renovation. So you should.
Well, then you're taking a bit of a risk.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if that's going to come through.
And also it's predicated on how many of these hedge fundies and these finance guys are actually going to move here, you know, in what numbers?
Yeah, true. I know that there's announcements almost every day of new hedge funds like opening in Abu Dhabi, but how much, you know, how many people are they bringing?
License,
what kind of level of people are bringing? Yeah, or are they just getting the license and a desk, you know, and just doing it like that? But in terms of predictions for Abu Dhabi, again, you know, as real estate agents, we're always a bit worried, and people are coming to me going like, oh, I can't keep going up like this, you know, it must go down. I mean, the market's only been going up for 4 years. Most real estate cycles are set 7+. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. People are still buying, even over the summer. You know, we had record years on our books compared to last summer as well, and still people are buying.
So the fundamentals are strong.
Population growth, like this Moody's report that I referenced at the top. So Dubai population went up 6% in 2024. In Abu Dhabi, we added, I think, 300,000 or 400,000 people.
And that is on track for the grand scheme of 2030. His Highness wants to get the population of Dubai to 7 million in the next 5 years. That's an increase.
Almost double, isn't it?
No.
It's four and a bit now?
Four and a bit now.
Yeah. So you're going to add 3 million people to that? You're going to need a few more roads.
A few more roads.
Build roads on top
of roads. A few more houses, a few more apartments.
Well, no complaints there.
Mm.
So anyway, that, I think, is where the market is in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Barney from Dubai.
And thanks. We'll see you next time.
Be good.